Good morning, everyone. My name's Sam, and I'll be doing the Bible reading, Amos chapter 5, verses 18 to 27. Woe to you who long for the day of the Lord. Why do you long for the day of the Lord? That day will be darkness, not light. It will be as though a man fled from a lion only to meet a bear, as though he entered his house and rested his hand on the wall, only to have a snake bite him. Will not the day of the Lord be darkness, not light, pitch dark without a ray of brightness? I despise your religious festivals. Your assemblies are a stench to me. Even though you bring me burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. Though you bring choice fellowship offerings, I will have no regard for them. Away with the noise of your songs. I will not listen to the music of your harps. But let justice roll on like a river, righteousness like a never-failing stream. Did you bring me sacrifices and offerings, 40 years in the wilderness, people of Israel? You have lifted up the shrine of your king, the pedestal of your idols, the star of your God, which you made for yourselves. Therefore I will send you into exile beyond Damascus, says the Lord, whose name is God Almighty.
Wow, thank you, Sam. Before I introduce myself, I don't know if I'm the only one, but did you feel that massive contrast between what we just experienced? Sitting and I was greatly moved, beholding God in His glory and His beauty and His splendor, and then hearing from the Word of God, I hate your your assembly and your singing and your, I mean, yeah, wow, what a pool, right? It's a great way actually of introducing what we're going to talk about. How does that happen? Why? What explains that kind of pulling you almost in opposite directions? What's going on? Because to be very clear, I think where we were in our praise of God is so right, so powerful, so good, and yet there's this kind of, at least of the people to whom this is said the first time in the Bible, why is God angry with their singing and their praising? And that's what we're going to unpack this morning, really. And so I think we're feeling, I hope, already kind of what we're going to, with our hearts, what we're going to maybe just wrap our heads around for a little bit. And we're going to do it with our kids, because if you're visiting with us today, we've got a children's program called Pathway Kids, and for the next few weeks, Pathway Kids, we're kind of jumping in, learning what you're learning. And today, you're actually not in the rooms in the back, you're in here with us. And so it's great to have you. My name is Etienne. I'm going to take us through the next little part where we're just going to explain a little bit of what's going on here in the reading. And then we're going to sing again, and I hope with the right hearts and minds, praise and worship God again in here today, but also throughout the week, I hope, as we'll learn. So let me just pray for us. I'd like to just let us sit for 30 seconds in quiet, and then I'll pray, and then we'll get into it. Let's pray. God, you are holy, and your presence among us is, in a way, very comforting and encouraging, and in another, very confronting. And I just pray that as we now, all together, young and old, learn that the simplicity of what we'll do won't rob us of the power of what we will hear and hopefully will respond to today, each in our own way, as you call us to. Help us, we pray, we ask, in Jesus' name. Okay, kids, you've already got some colouring in, but I also want you to work with me here for a little bit. I actually want us to have a little bit of, dare I say, a little bit of fun in understanding what is going on in this Bible reading of Amos. And so what I actually want us to do is I want to perform a little bit of a play, if you like, that might just illustrate to us what's going on in Amos, in this Bible reading. And so for this little play, I do need a few characters and volunteers. Some I hope to be kids, others I hope to be adults. It's obviously very nerve-wracking because you're signing up for something you don't know what role you need to play. So I need a few characters for this. I need, I'm going to be a businessman. I'm a rich businessman. I'm very wealthy. And yeah, maybe Joe Hockey. Joe's a great guy, but okay, yeah, let's imagine I'm Joe Hockey. I also need then a person. I think this one's already taken. Anna, can you come on up? Anna's going to be a very hardworking nurse. Let's say a nurse. Anna's a hardworking nurse. She is single, and I need now two more roles. I need a lawyer. I wasn't going to go there, but she is up to the law. I don't know. I don't want to put you on the spot. But yeah, I need a lawyer. It's very important. It's a corrupt lawyer that I'm after, which you're not. So can you be out of character for this part, Alice? Thank you. I also need a judge. Maybe a child can be one of these. Does anybody want to? David, do you want to be the judge? All right, come on up. You can be the judge. Oh, David. Maybe, judge, you need to stand behind the bar, but no one's going to see you. Can we get a chair maybe just for David to stay here for now? You'll get your dad to put a chair there. Okay, we've got our judge. That's fine. Yeah, just for now. Thank you. Okay, and then we need an auctioneer, someone who's going to sell a house at an auction. Yes, well, yes, come on up. We can do that to one of the children as well. This is the house you're going to sell. Okay, now, okay. No, it's much more than that. We're gonna move together a bit here. So we're all starting here. You guys can just kind of lean into this. For better or worse, you're more or less props, but lean into this. Okay. We are all in church because we are a community, we live in a village and a town, and we are in church, right? And in the first act of this little show, I am the prominent leader in this church, and I am reading the Bible today as we are here in church. And I am reading from Psalm 33, verse 5. I am saying that God loves what is right and what is fair. The earth is filled with his kindness. And so that's the Bible reading that I read today for us in church. And then we sing and we worship, and it's really all great. Church finishes, and now we go into our lives, pretend actors that we are, and there is a house that is all of a sudden available buy. Now, the reality is this house actually belonged to Anna's parents, who passed away, and she inherited the house, but I, as the rich businessman, I am saying, you know what, actually, that is prime real estate, and I'm really keen to stick an Aldi there. It'd be nice to have an Aldi. Do we know what Aldi is? yes, a few mainlanders might go, yeah, it'd be nice if I could stick an Aldi on this corner, real estate, and I'm very keen to have it. But unfortunately, Anna has something. Do you want to tell us what that says? This house belongs to me, undersigned by the government, because she has the title deed that says that she has inherited this house. Which is a bit of a problem for me, because that house is worth millions of dollars to me in business, and I really want it. So I think to myself, I think that that document there is a fake. I don't think it's real. And so I'm going to say, I'm laying claim to this house. And Anna says to me, well, I don't know, we'll have to go to court over this. Because this is mine. In fact, Anna at the moment has no home. Like, seems most young people these days trying to start out a life. It's pretty difficult. She's got nowhere to live. She's couch surfing. All of a sudden, this opportunity opens up for her. And I'm saying, no, it's mine. Okay. So, now we're going to move to court. David, you need to go and hop over there on the chair. We are going to move to court. But, Anna, you need to turn around and look the other way. Because on the way to court, I actually know Alice. We're good family friends. And I say, Alice, I know there is that trip you want to go on, isn't it? That little Greece. And you wouldn't mind just handling this for me when we... Okay, fine. David also happens to, as the judge just discovered, sort of slipped under his court docket. Do judges have dockets? What do they know? Books? The bench. Sorry. Under the bench, not the bar, we're in Australia. It's Australia, isn't it? That bar's weird. Okay, right. Thank you. And we're also old family friends, David and I. You know, we go way back, and he knows why the notes are slipped under the folder. And so, all right, you know, I wasn't there. Anna and I'm not even going to court because I don't need to be there. I'm above any suspicion. Anna, you go to court and take your document and you give it to Alice, to the lawyer, and Alice is showing it to the judge, and she's kind of saying, no, it's a fake. There should be some numbers down the bottom that are not there. The judge looks at it and he says, this is actually a fake. So we're going to tear it up. Just tear it up. But now you've got to go and stand and look intimidated and small. You're staring up at the majesty of justice here. Because David's a fair judge. He's saying, we're not going to just confiscate it because we're a fair society. We'll put it up for auction. You can buy it. Good for you. But you have no money. Anyway, so now we're going, thank you. Well, go over here. Now we go to the auction place and you can start the bidding. You say, yes, I'll buy it. Start the bidding at $5. $10. So it goes up and up. Oh. No. In the end, you get the picture. I am the one who hold all the cash, and I know that this price cannot be too high for me because there is, absolute gazillions in this property for me. And yes, I hand the money over, and I say, I'm so sorry. Next time. And yeah, I'm sure God's got you. Because, come back, David and Alice and Josh, and we're all coming back here because the week's business is all done, and it's my turn again in church to read the Bible. And this time I'm reading from Psalm 89, verse 14, and I'm saying, righteousness and justice is the foundation of your throne, O God. your faithfulness go before you. And then we sing. And then we praise God. Right? What's the problem here? Let's debrief. Yeah. My lawyer friend and my judge friend were horrible. Yeah. So that's one problem. What's some more problems? Yeah, let's dig deeper into this because that's definitely true. But what else? What's justice has not been done? Yes, absolutely. Yep. Big difference between Sunday, it's all good, but when we enter the marketplace and so on. Okay, yeah. So now let's dig down to the cost of all this, because here's the real, I think the thing that really hurts. And I think we need to be mindful here that this hurts. It hurts God. That's right. So here's the question: what does Anna now think? Firstly, of us. What do you think of us? After what we've done to you. You don't want to talk, actually. The deal was that you wouldn't have to talk. Anna feels, obviously, absolutely trampled on, unloved, dare I say, even abused in some, if I can use that tough word. But now let's take it a step deeper. What does Anna now think of God? Of the people of God, the very people who in a way are Him on earth, the body of Christ, are the people of God. This is what God is like, what He looks like. The devastation of what that does is beyond expression. And I think, friends, this is what Amos is on about. This is where we get Amos. He's the people of his day, the people of his time. This is the sort of stuff they did. This is what religious people did. It's what God's people did. And he's more or less saying, you know what? After the week we've had in this little skit, and then we come in, and then we behold. God's going, no. Stench, it's disgusting. I will not have it. Is flatly what he said in those strong terms, those strong words. You guys can grab a seat. Thanks, Alice and Josh. And yeah, give a round of applause. Just give me my money back. Thank you. I honestly, folks, I don't have to do a lot more in today's message. I think we get it, right? It really speaks powerfully for itself. The take homes are really, if we love God and we are His people, we need to love our neighbors. That's the two commandments. Loving God, loving neighbor. The connection in God's eyes is absolutely critical. And so there's a lot of thinking that always need to go in and can go into before we worship. If we say we love God, we need to love Him as we love our neighbors. And that can be tricky sometimes to work out. It's complex, all of those things, but you get the connection, you get the consistency. And then Amos's message that is a little bit uncomfortable, I think, that we need to hear as well, is that if we don't do this, God will not let that slide. He will not let it slide, at least not forever. He may in the short run, but He's not going to let it slide in the long run. I mean, we hear what God really says to His people, those who say they love Him and worship and praise. These are striking words. Even though you bring me your offerings, I'm not going to accept them. Though you bring your fellowship offerings, I have no regard for them. Away with the noise of your songs, I will not listen to the music of your harps. And it gets further for those people back in history. I'll send you into exile. In fact, I'm going to even push you out of your land, your homes, all of it. I'm gonna take it all away from you if you keep doing this, right? And so it happens in history. They go into exile and so on. And we need to be mindful that we live under the love and holiness of the same God. We too, one way or another, whether it's in this life or the next, will incur his, well, judgment's the technical religious word, and it's a good word. He won't let it slide. He's very serious about the authenticity and the purity of our love for him, what we say about him, and how we live before him in the world, right? He will not let it slide. And then lastly, the last point of application before I wrap up is the positive side of this. If we do the right thing, if we are people that connect these two things, our worship, I mean, first of all, our worship is going to be fantastic. We're going to really rightly behold and enjoy what we meant to enjoy when we worship him, right? But more than that, there's a great implication for the rest of the world. There's this fantastic verse in Amos 5, verse 24 that Sam read. It says, "But let justice roll on like a river, righteousness like a never-failing stream." Amos 5, verse 24. Can you imagine that? If we do the right things, our love for our neighbor, if people live like that, the world becomes, put it, I guess, a bit in a cliche way, the world becomes a better place. And it does. It's like this refreshing river that changes everything, that transforms the world. The video that we saw this morning, the work that happens there, it transforms. The work we do when we love our neighbors, when we care for them, when we serve them, when we help them, it is like a stream, like a river that nourishes, that washes, that refreshes, that sustains. The implications of this, if these are the kinds of lives we live, is that the world looks more like the world that reflects God. The one that he originally created. The one that he is promising he will return it to through his son, Jesus. Jesus who died for the forgiveness of our sin, because all of us in some ways are not perfect in our worship. Jesus who was raised to life. Jesus who promised that if you believe in him, he will come and fill you and live in you, and he will transform you into a true worshiper, one who can behold the glory of God and worship and then go out and live your life in whatever it is that you're doing, your parenting, your business dealings, your school, your trade, your apprenticeship, your business that you manage, your department that you oversee. Act and live in those places consistently with the love of God, and that place will change. That place will be a better place. It's a watered place. Because there is the connection between love for God and love for neighbor, real and lived out in your life. This is the kind of people that God is calling. And this is how he changes the world, through Christ who lives in us and through us in the world. That wraps us up, but I'm going to do one more thing before the music team is going to come up and lead us in a response song. We're going to just show a video. Kids, you sometimes watch this in Pathway Kids. That sort of summarizes Amos and what I've shared for you today, just in another form, creatively. And maybe directly after that, I'll pray for us, and then we'll sing again. All right. Thanks, Pete. Go for it.
Chapter 48. Let justice roll down. Amos 5. Because our God is holy, he wants us to be holy. Because our God is love, he wants us to love one another. And because our God always does what is just, he wants us to act with justice. This is what the Lord requires of you, the prophet Micah said, to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God. But this story is not about Micah. It's about another prophet, Amos. Like most of God's messengers, Amos told Israel about God's grace for sin and how they were really big sinners. When Amos was God's messenger, the people often treated each other unfairly. This was especially true of the rich and powerful. We've seen lots of good guys who were rich, people like Abraham, David, and Job. But we also see in the Bible that being rich can get you into lots of trouble. Sometimes when you're the big cheese, you look down on other people and start to stink. Amos told the people that God was angry with them for their injustice. The Israelites were kicking people down instead of lifting them up. They were stealing land from the little guy. They were taking money from the poor to help the rich. They were taking bribes and paid no attention to what was fair. Many of the rich were proud and smug, like a bully who swipes your pizza so that he can have more and you can have none. So the Lord said to the people, "I don't want your offerings. I don't want your animals. I don't want your music. I want your heart, and I want your obedience." And then the Lord gave them a picture of the life he wanted to see. "Let justice roll down like waters," he said, "and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream." God wanted Israel to be flowing with fairness, not with pride, selfishness, and cheating. The Israelites had made the land dry and dark. The land needed life. It needed justice. It needed the river of righteousness to wash things clean and make kindness grow. I guess you could say the Israelites needed to love God with all their hearts and love their neighbors as themselves.
Did you just pause that and leave that screen up? And can I ask that you would, can I ask that we pray that out loud together, just that line, and we say it together. And that's our prayer for today. So we certainly ask that God would do that with us. If you feel comfortable, if you believe in God, if you know Jesus, if this is all a bit weird for you and you're kind of new to the whole Jesus thing, that's okay. Don't feel you need to say that. If you don't mean it, that's totally fine. But for the rest of us, if you feel comfortable enough and safe enough to do so, I might just count us into three and then we just pray that together and then I'll hand over to the team. All right, 1, 2, 3. "Forgive us, Lord, when we put others down to lift ourselves up. Give us grace to walk in justice and treat people fairly. Amen." Thank you, team.
We're going to finish with an old song, "Here I Am to Worship." And, you know, I often think that this song is a good one to sing. The chorus, "Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down.